Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
Where in the world do we come up with the idea of the ministry of competence? Where did that come from? Well, let's take a look. Actually, it comes from our very own CMDA core values. I'm sure all of you have committed these to memory and are able to articulate well how they apply to your work and to the ministry of CMDA generally. But for me, it was total news. Transparent. I think Bert had asked me to give this talk maybe 6 months ago, sometime long before he left, and I put it on my calendar and I guess failed to put a tickler on there. So a couple days ago, I was looking at my calendar like, what am I doing the next couple days? I was like, oh no, I've got to give a talk. What am I going to do? So anyway, I jumped on the CMDA website and thought, oh, the core values are interesting. Maybe there's one there. And then go down this list of, you know, very spiritual-minded topics like Christ-likeness and being controlled by the Holy Spirit, committed to Scripture, community and prayer, compassionate, and then competent. Well, that's interesting. I thought, well, maybe that would be something worth exploring. Let's consider why competent might be amongst the core values of CMDA. So I think we should focus on competence because God has given us work to do, and He's given us the capacity to do that work with certain skills and experience and knowledge and access to resources that only He can provide, and they're unique to each one of us. And we honor Him when we apply those in a way that reflects competence. Another way, excellence in what we do. God isn't looking for mediocrity. It's true that none of us are perfect, and certainly is. As long as I'm involved in something, it's not going to be perfect, but I think we can be obsessed with getting as close to perfect as we possibly can. And if you think about God's perfection and how that reflects a standard, really the ultimate standard of excellence. We go to Genesis and you see throughout the book, the detail and perfection that is in creation, and then he gives us specific work to do in that, to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing. That's a lot of work to take dominion over everything in the, you know, that has been created. And so we're created and called to do that work with excellence. When our work is excellent, it reflects God's glory. Think about just the attention to detail that reflects the character of the Creator. When we're competent, we don't cut corners. We don't skip essential steps. We do the right thing. Exodus is a great example. You see, I mean, chapter after chapter of the intricate details that God has gone to give instruction on what is the right way to, you know, to construct and equip the tabernacle there. So another thing is that God competence. Think of competence as good stewardship. God has richly blessed us to do what He created each of us to do. I think the least we can do is apply the abilities He's given us in a manner that honors Him. There's so many biblical role models for us to choose from. But consider Joseph, a guy who went through a lot of challenges in his life, but sometimes stuck his foot in his own mouth, had to learn to be more skilled in the way he communicates. It's probably not a good idea to start out telling all your older brothers that they're all going to bow down to you one day. So he had clarity about what God had called him to do, that he would be a leader of people. He did that well. And I think what I love about Joseph is he's a model of resilience as well, that regardless of his circumstances, whether he's in prison or he's in a palace, he's committed to doing the right thing. He honors God by giving his best effort and serving him well. We want to be good and faithful servants, the parable of the talents is another good biblical example. The good and faithful servant is rewarded for maximizing what he's given, which requires competence, initiative, diligence. I think we all know the story, the parable of the talents. I won't take time to read the whole story, but the leader leaves town and entrusts some of his money to three of his servants, each according to his ability. I think that's an interesting note, not to read past too quickly. But to the one, he gave five whatever units of money a talent is. I didn't try to translate that into our dollars today, but I suspect it was not an insignificant amount. And that guy doubled his money, earning the praise from his master, who said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." To another guy, he gave two talents. That guy did the same thing. He was able to take initiative and doubled the money for his master, earning the same praise. And yet to the third, again, going back to each according to his ability, he only gave one talent. He's probably thinking, I don't trust this guy with too much, but let's see what he can do with one. Surely he can generate one more. But no, the guy's response was based out of fear, we learn. And what did he do? He buried it in the ground, earning him not praise, but being called out as wicked and slothful. So what's the point of that? The servant who received the one talent, I don't think was condemned for failing to reach the goal of doubling his money or matching his fellow servants who got four talents or 10 talents that they were able to present back. He was condemned because he did nothing with what he was given. So we're to be faithful stewards of all the gifts that we receive from God, whether it's money or your skills or ability or your education. Use them to the best known way of doing whatever it is that God sets before us. So I think the severe consequences that the unproductive servant realized, far beyond anything triggered by just being bad at business, being mediocre at best, tell us that we're to invest our lives, that we're not to waste our lives, not to waste our time or the talents that God has entrusted to us. So why should we care about competence here at CMDA. Well, there are a lot of good and practical reasons that we should apply ourselves and reap the benefits of pursuing excellence in whatever our work might be. For some, ambition drives us. Others, you know, for career advancement or maybe a promotion to make a raise that's earned because of your merit. Others find it rewarding to be respected and a trusted contributor to the team, to have influence in the organization, or an opportunity to help others to grow in their respective roles. But for all of us, I think the best reason is that excellence is how we best reflect the character of God and love and serve others as ourselves through our work. Mark 7:37, I think, is a great testimony for excellence. It says, people were overwhelmed with amazement, talking about Jesus. He has done everything well. So if we want to be imitators of Christ, we have no choice but to pursue all we do with excellence. We should also care about competence at CMDA because it's essential. If we want to work in or be part of a healthy organization, we got to have a healthy culture. And healthy organizations first and foremost have a healthy culture. Yeah, they have a healthy bottom line as well, but I know a lot of very successful businesses on paper that none of us would want to work in because it's a toxic environment. And I would say that history will proves out that that financial health is not sustainable if you don't have a healthy culture. So Truett Cathy, I think all of you know who Truett Cathy is, right? He's the founder of Chick-fil-A, the greatest chicken in the world, Christian chicken, right? Truett described a healthy culture as one that operated by the principle of awe, A-W-E. Assume the best, want the best, and expect the best. So it means I show up to work assuming all of us are here because we're motivated to give our best effort to help CMDA fulfill its mission, its vision, and its values. And if I make a mistake, you should assume I had the best intentions at heart. I didn't wake up this morning thinking, how can I make CMDA's life miserable today? Nobody does. I don't believe any of you did that today. Everybody came here, and I can assume the best about you. We also want the best, that we mutually, genuinely would celebrate each other's success. I want all of you to be wildly successful, to whatever your dreams are. How can I help you realize those dreams? And that's the kind of culture we all want to work in, right? But we also should expect the best of one another. It's not okay to just decide I'm going to show up today and be mediocre. Nobody strives for average, I don't think. We want to be the best we can be, right? You don't hear commercials about, come to our coffee shop because we serve mediocre coffee. We'll put something in your cup. No, you're probably not going to frequent that place, right? So holding ourselves and one another accountable to reliably give our best effort, to do the right things, to do them the right way, encouraging one another in the value of doing our work diligently, with excellence and with integrity, enhances the likelihood we're going to have a healthy culture. All right. Well, the thought is, I've seen a lot in my career. We've got an important strategic initiative, and we need everybody to pull on the rope, and you hear folks say, well, I'm just fill in the blank, whatever. The perception they have is that I'm not really contributing to that. What I do isn't as important as the other guy. That is the biggest pet peeve for me. Regardless of your position, I don't think CMDA can afford to have anybody here that isn't fulfilling an essential service. Am I right, Connie? Yeah. So regardless of your position, whether it's in accounting, IT, communications, facilities, housekeeping, a clerical role, advocacy, I'm looking in the round room, who am I missing? fundraising, direct ministry, leadership, every single role at CMDA is vitally important and integral to the effectiveness of the ministry. So all of us should see our experience, our unique skill set, professional competence, not merely as a job requirement, but as a vital aspect of CMDA's ministry excellence and credibility. I hope that you have the opportunity to reflect on a regular basis about, what is your why? We know what CMDA's why is, I think, right? What's the mission statement of CMDA? To educate, encourage, and equip Christian healthcare professionals to glorify God. Well, can each of you say, I know how I contribute to that mission? Entertaining thoughts that your role is lesser than another or that mediocrity is acceptable, I would go out on a limb and say that's a form of spiritual warfare against CMDA. It may be a symptom of burnout, but it for sure should be a red flag that something's not right here. Maybe it's a reminder that I'm neglecting spiritual disciplines that I think are fuel for us to stay focused on our why and what God has called us to do and how we can contribute. So, anyway, I think about just another biblical, Epaphroditus, probably not a household name. Anybody name their kid Epaphroditus? I never met a guy in my life known named Epaphroditus, but I think maybe we should reconsider. Paul had an extremely high opinion of Epaphroditus. If you look at Philippians 2, 25 and 30, aside from this passage, we know nothing about this guy other than he was a messenger from Philippi and that Paul thought he was a rock star, enough that he dedicates a letter to accompany this guy to say, hey, treat this guy with respect. He's useful to the kingdom. All right, so competence, let's think about competence as a tool for ministry, and the practical impact on the mission. Whether it's a well-run conference, a clear financial statement, a professional website, a quality publication, maybe it's a respectful phone call, a timely email that you respond to, a clean bathroom. Thank you. I had one this morning. It was awesome. All these things enhance CMDA's image and gives a credible voice that might be used by God to open doors for the kingdom. The credibility of the gospel is, I think, in play. Competence opens doors for the kingdom. Incompetence, on the other hand, often slams those doors shut. I bet we all can think of examples in our own life, practical basis, where you've experienced incompetence doing business with somebody, and you're like, I will never call those people again. Well, may it never be said about CMDA that, if they can't get that right, why would I entrust, with investing in that ministry? little things really do matter. Colossians 4:5 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Continuous improvement and development. So finally, invest in yourself so that you can continually enhance your own capacity to do your job well and to contribute to the mission of CMDA. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So the word here, do your best. That word here speaks to a zealous persistence in accomplishing a goal. Timothy's work was to preach and teach the word. But like him, in whatever our work might be, we're to give our best effort so as not to be ashamed, and to be deemed a good and faithful servant. Well, I hope that was helpful. Here's the obligatory family picture taken just last week. It was my family up in Michigan, and then, but here's some recent shots that capture Beth and I in our little-known roles as superheroes. This is my real day job, but anyway. All right, love you guys, appreciate you. Have a blessed day.